Guilty, a Stargate Atlantis fanfiction by Tasmi. Rated Gen. Relationship, John Rodney. Summary. Declassification transforms into a devastating confession. Rodney is ready to face life in prison, but John has different plans. Author's notes. This story is inspired by my favorite scene ever from the Musketeer books. When Athos insults the king, he knows the Bastille awaits. D'Artagnan refuses to admit he's been sent to arrest him, and instead tells Athos he's brought him a horse with which to escape. For years now, I've wanted to write something similar with John and Rodney. Thanks to Tipper for the idea of an intergalactic criminal court. Rodney should have expected the deeper consequences of declassification, but somehow he didn't. What should have been a joyous occasion and the biggest step toward his Nobel Prize transformed itself into a devastating confession. Billions of judgmental gazes settling on him, determined to draw blood for the many lives destroyed. The reporter's words from months before still echoed in Rodney's ear. "So you admit hundreds of thousands of people, whole civilizations, are dead because of you?" Now, alone in his room, he sat on the side chair, waiting for the inevitable knock from agents swarming the hotel, the handcuffs and jail cells that would follow. Political winds had a tendency to shift suddenly, and so they did. With the newly sworn-in President of the United States, the new Secretary General of the United Nations, and other world leaders all elected on the promise of bringing war criminals to justice and a change to intergalactic policy as a whole, it was time to rethink history. Almost overnight, the tides turned from heroes who saved Earth to colonizers who destroyed whole civilizations. Exposé after exposé demanded to know who was ultimately at fault for the devastation, who could be blamed. It was much easier to tell the story with an enemy to rally against, as opposed to a sea of hard choices and bad decisions. Focus on one person, and you could carry out the punishment swiftly and easily, leaving the textbooks to tell the monster, while the world moved on to become kinder and wiser. Blameless. Rodney wasn't surprised when they focused on him as the official monster. Were they wrong? Maybe? Probably not. On the charges of destroying 5/6 of a solar system? Guilty? On the charges of changing the replicator code that let them devastate whole civilizations? Guilty. On the charges of morally questionable experimentation and killing the wraith-turned-humans when those experiments then failed? Guilty. He was the one who activated the bomb, after all. There was more, so much more they could include in an immense list of charges from the newly formed intergalactic criminal court. He should fight. He should tell them they were all morons who didn't understand the dangers they faced. He should chastise them for their hypocrisy and cowardice. He should dare them to face a wraith, knowing the destruction they could bring to Earth, and not do something about it. He wouldn't, though. Instead, he would plead guilty to all the charges, and in exchange, his team, his city, the IOA, and the SGC could all continue under new leadership, free from the threat of further charges. Rodney thought this was by far the best course of action. He would agree with their verdict. Welcome it, even. His head spun from hypoglycemia. But really, what was the point in eating today? He sat in the hotel chair waiting, listening, his mind oddly silent, and maybe even relieved. At last, he would face the trial he'd always deserved. Something about it felt cathartic and right. The knock at the door was softer than he'd imagined it would be. He didn't even hear the shuffle of feet from the many officers coming to arrest him. Strange. Taylor and Ronan had trained him better than that. Maybe the last few months of Earth had turned him docile. Weak. Easy pickings for whoever planned to feast on him. He drew a deep breath, straightened, and opened the door, expecting to be tackled, pushed against a wall, and read his rights. Instead, spiky hair and a slouching figure greeted him, hands stuffed into pockets and a grin on his face. "Hey," John said. "Hey?" Rodney asked, clearly as a question and not a greeting. "Can I come in?" Rodney glanced down the hallway, surprised to find no one else there waiting. Not that John would sell him out to the authorities, but John was military and he didn't control his orders. If the government of Earth wanted to hold Rodney up as an example and sacrifice, having his military conspirator arrest him made a clear statement of, "We did not condone his actions." But John would never play that game. Something didn't add up. Rodney's gaze narrowed, but he stepped back, allowing John's entrance. "Taylor and Ronan are making arrangements, so they couldn't make it," John explained, settling himself into Rodney's chair, kicking his feet onto the ottoman. "But they'll come by afterward." "Not that I'll be here?" Rodney said, arms crossed. "We missed you at the team breakfast this week." "I was busy."
"Were you?"
"Yes. Why are you here?" "What, I can't come to say hi? Just because we don't have Atlantis doesn't mean we're not still team." And you expect me to believe that's the real reason?"
"Yes, I do. Why else would I be here?"
"I don't know. Maybe to arrest me?" John held his best poker face as though Rodney couldn't see through the obvious facade.
"You know me better than that," he managed.
"Normally, yes. But this is bigger than us, isn't it? And you know that, and I know that. It's okay. It's the only thing that makes sense. They order you to do this, and the SGC gets to distance itself from my actions, and you get to save everyone else on Atlantis from facing charges. I get it."
"First of all, I'm not arresting you," John said through gritted teeth.
"Well, not you personally. How many MPs are in the lobby?"
"What the hell? You know I would never..."
"But you should."
"What? Why?"
"Because you have your orders. Tell me I'm wrong."
"Rodney, I don't."
"Then why are you here?"
"To see a friend."
"Yeah, sure. Look, how about chess? I know you packed a board with you." Rodney hesitated just a moment before slowly opening his bag and pulling out the pieces and board. There wasn't much time to leave Atlantis, but he'd managed to grab the important stuff. His diplomas, a couple games, a few pictures. 5 years in a mystical city, and all he had to show for it was 2 full suitcases.
"I'm famous now," Rodney said as he moved his first pawn.
"They have your face plastered on every channel," John confirmed. "They don't know how not to stroke your ego." "Getting accused of genocide is hardly an ego boost."
"I suppose not, but it does put you at the center of attention," John said, castling kingside.
"It's just a matter of time before they press charges," Rodney said.
"And you thought I'd let them send me?"
"No, not really, but maybe that'd be easier."
"Not happening."
"But they did send you, didn't they?"
John hesitated, staring at the board as though determining his next move, but Rodney knew he'd already decided.
"They may have tried."
"Then you should do it."
"No, not happening."
"So there are MPs in the lobby?"
"I forgot to bring them along."
"Then what are we doing? Why are you here?"
"To tell you that Ronan and Taylor are bringing a cloaked jumper, and now is a good time for a vacation."
Rodney couldn't help but smile.
Of course. John would never sell him out. John would, however, risk everything to see him free.
Rodney tipped over his king. No matter how many times he lost to John, it still hurt his ego. He didn't reset the pieces, however. Instead, he leaned back and crossed his arms. "You should bring me in, John."
"No."
"I'm not fleeing."
"Yes, you are."
"What? Are you going to kidnap me? Force me to run? That'll just make things worse for everyone else involved."
"No, it allows you to sip cocktails on a paradise world instead of facing endless trials and jail cells. They can blame you from afar just as easily as here."
"So what? Then you get arrested in my place?"
"No, we escape together. Ronan and Taylor have already..."
"No."
"No?"
"No.
It would be one thing if I weren't guilty, but..."
"Bullshit! You are not!"
"Yes, I am. I have so many demons hidden in my closet that I could stab Atlantis with them 10 times over.
"We all have demons. It doesn't mean you should let them crucify you in a kangaroo court."
"Will you stop already? This is how it ends, and I'm fine with that. Better than fine, actually. I want this."
"You want this?"
"Yes."
"No. Absolutely not. If I have to have Ronan throw you into the jumper, I will."
"Even if I beg you not to?"
"You're not thinking right."
"I am, John. I really am. Please, you're not throwing away your career for me. No one else is taking the fall for my mistakes."
"Our mistakes. And so what? Instead, you're throwing away both of our lives? How dare you?"
"You're not listening to me."
"Neither are you," John shouted, coming to his feet. His finger pointed directly at Rodney's face. Rodney flinched. Then he stood up, taking a step back.
"Well, maybe if you had something to say that wasn't ludicrous and half-baked."
"It's not."
"Yes, it is."
"Okay. How about this then?"
I love you. Is that worth listening to?"
John's shallow breathing echoed loudly in Ronnie's ears. In contrast, Ronnie's breath tightened, possibly stopping altogether.
What?
Rodney finally managed.
"I love you," John repeated.
"Are you a pod person? Infected with a parasite? Poisoned by some strange substance?"
"I'm not losing you. Please."
Rodney glanced around the almost empty hotel room, considering the cells that awaited him versus the margaritas on the beach. Margaritas with John, free from all of this hurt.
"If you don't come with me," John continued, "if you stay here and go to prison, if you give up, I don't know what I'll do."
"Because you love me."
"Among other reasons, yes."
"Really?"
"Yes. Look, we don't exactly have infinite time here."
"I love you too," Rodney mumbled, considering the stained carpet, not daring to look up.
"You do?"
"Yes, obviously. Have you had your head in the sand for the last 5 years?
"You had girlfriends."
"Only because I didn't have you."
"You never asked."
"Neither did you."
"So you'll escape with me?"
"No."
"No? Why the hell not?" John demanded, stepping into Rodney's face, his hazel eyes blazing with anger.
Rodney gulped. "The chances we make it to this planet, they're slim at best. The chances they catch up to us, it's almost guaranteed. I can't risk bringing you down with me."
"I'm sorry."
"We're willing to take that risk."
"Will you stop arguing and just think this through?"
"I have. We have a plan."
"Who is we? You know what? No, don't answer that. I'm done here."
"Done?"
Done. I'm going to help you out. I'll turn myself in on my own terms. That way you don't have to bring me in and you can be free of all this mess. He grabbed his jacket, heading toward the door, but the room was spinning now, hypoglycemia and long-awaited confessions taking their toll. He swayed slightly, making his attempt at an exit all the more awkward. Suddenly, John's hand was on his arm, holding him up.
I've got you, John said.
Rodney wanted to wiggle free, but John's hold remained firm. He was vaguely aware of Ronan and Tayla entering, a power bar being thrust into his hand with a command to eat, while John guided him back to the bed.
We're not letting you go, Ronan said.
Rodney turned toward Tayla, his guilt swarming even as the room steadied, his blood sugar evening out. The Athosians would have been better off if they never met us, met me. You know that, right? My people are free of the Wraith thanks to us. Thanks to you.
The few of them left? Seriously, why are you here? How can you stand to be around us after everything?
Because it's better to fight and lose than to give up. You have made mistakes, yes. We all did. And yes, perhaps if you had listened to us better, it may have gone smoother. But I would rather have fought than continue to live as prey.
Even with all that loss, really? Rodney said, though he knew his words were cruel. He made sure to give them extra bite, anything to push them away and make them leave. Anything to protect them.
What's done is done, Ronan said. It doesn't mean you should take the fall.
I'm sorry. Did you see the death toll we left in our path? Exactly how much of that was my fault? Leave me be to face this.
You could be looking at the rest of your life in prison, John choked.
Good. Rodney, Tayla said, gasping. You cannot actually believe that. What good can this possibly serve?
I don't know. Why don't you ask Elizabeth?
Oh, that's right. She's not here, is she? You can't ask Collins or Grodin or Dumais, as they're dead too. And the Pegasins dead by my hand probably won't answer either. But if I take the fall, at least they have someone to answer for what happened, and the rest of you are protected. Let me do this.
We cannot, Tayla said.
We will not.
Rodney glared. They surrounded him, blocking his exit, watching him with misplaced concern.
Don't you get it? I have to do this. Please.
We're running out of time, John said. We can argue about this later when you're safe.
No, how many times do I have to say it?
You can come with us easily, or, Tayla said.
Or?
Ronan replied without words, his blaster powering up.
What, you'll shoot me?
We'll do what we have to do, John answered. If you do this, I'll hate you. You know that, right?
We love you, Rodney, Tayla answered. That is why we will see you to safety.
And I get no choice in the matter. Rodney stood up, brushing the power bar crumbs off his slacks. He couldn't let them do this, but he also lacked other options.
No, the three said in unison. They guided him out of the room, John firmly gripping his left arm while Ronan gripped the right.
The path to the jumper seemed endless. Infinite in time and distance, a lifetime of devastating choices flashing before his eyes. He glanced down toward John.
John who loved him? John who would sacrifice everything for him? They could have their happy ending together despite it all. It could be nice, right? Only Rodney had resigned himself to his fate. How could he allow them to lose everything for him? Didn't he owe this trial to the dead? To the civilizations gone because of his hubris and failings? Not that he had a choice. His team's gift to him, forced freedom, wasn't a gift he deserved, but he couldn't help wanting it nonetheless. Seriously? Rodney asked as they sat him on the jumper bench and then bound his wrists and ankles with zip ties. Just until we're far enough away that we know you won't try anything, John explained. What could I possibly try? Rodney demanded. Escaping, Ronan suggested. John said, you did make it clear that you'd rather go to prison. We just want to make sure that doesn't happen. It would be unwise for us to underestimate you, Taylor added. So you all admit this is a kidnapping? Perhaps an intervention, said Taylor. You didn't exactly give us a choice, John said. Ronnie pulled at his ties. Of all the ridiculous, asinine ways to go about this? You'll love the place we have in mind, John told him from the pilot seat, ignoring Ronnie's complaints. Major Lorne has already made camp for us with the others, Taylor explained. Wait, what others? Huge beach, John continued. Atlantis will fit perfectly. Atlantis? Sure, you don't think we'd just leave it in Earth's hands, do you? Radix almost finalized plans as we speak. Hold up. You all plan to steal Atlantis, and you're just now telling me? You had a lot of prying eyes on you. It seemed wise to keep our distance. Okay, fair enough. But seriously, have you all lost your collective minds? There's no possible way you can pull off a heist that big. You underestimate how many people love and support you, Taylor said. Many hands have worked to bring you home safely and to bring the city back to my people, to be run by Pegasons. Oh, that is so not good. We're all going to end up in prison. You realize that, right? We're willing to take that risk, Ronan said. I'm not. Listen to me. I'm guilty. Got it? These are my demons to face. You need to stop this madness before everyone else gets hurt because of me. We can't do that, John insisted. Yes, you can. You're smarter than this. And so are you. Now shut up and let me concentrate. Ronnie opened his mouth to speak, but Ronan grunted in the way that said, don't make me shoot you. So Rodney held his tongue and glared. They finally removed the zip ties when the jumper landed in Atlantis's bay, leaving John and Ronnie alone on the bench to talk things through. Notably, Atlantis was already in space by this time, stolen away and somehow not actively fired upon by other ships. Caldwell's on our side, so the Daedalus won't pursue, and he's seen to it the Apollo won't either, John explained as Ronnie rubbed the red band around his wrists. Why? Ronnie asked. Because Atlantis belongs in Pegasus, to the Pegasons, because it makes more sense this way, with you here. John leaned in, kissing Rodney's lips for the first time, gentle and tentative. Rodney kissed back, hesitant and unsure. The brief kiss ended all too soon, each waiting for the other to make the next move. Since when do we kiss? Rodney asked. Since now? Because we love each other? That's the idea, yes. Huh, sounds nice, actually. Yeah. For a moment, Ronnie allowed himself to relax, the taste of John still on his lips. Then the weight of everything made itself known again. We'll only do more damage here, Rodney muttered, staring again at his wrists. You're serious, aren't you? You really think you're guilty. Aren't we? I don't know, but I do know bringing Atlantis back is the right thing to do. I know being here, with you, that it's better with you. Ronnie looked up, smiling, maybe for the first time that week. Better together? Always. Come what may? Sure, John replied, quirking an eyebrow. Tell me you remembered coffee. Starts, beans, and several espresso machines.
Well, at least you had a plan.
So are we good now? John asked, grinning.
What happens when Earth comes for us?
We fight.
And if Earth just wants me?
After we stole Atlantis? I doubt that.
We're screwed, aren't we?
We'll fight that troll when we get to that bridge.
And that, out of all the day's happenings, made the most sense.
We'll need to find the ZPM chargers Alinka discovered in the database.
There's the Rodney we know and love.
Rodney smiled again, leaning into another kiss. There was no telling what tomorrow held, and it felt incomplete, wrong to be out here, free, his inner demons unsettled. But it wasn't like he had a choice.
And tomorrow was a new day. The end.